The video version of this episode can be found at patreon.com/flagtimepodcast.
It didn't matter if you were like 2 miles away or next to me, I would shoot that rocket at you. And I had more kills with the SMA than with my MP7.
Do you really think I'm the kind of person to take a game like Call of Duty seriously? No, I'm definitely taking a rocket launcher and we're both exploding this week on Flag Time.
Still constipated.
Hell yeah, that's not the tagline. Welcome to the Flag Time Podcast, the automotive service podcast where we talk a lot about not that. My name is Serena Mobius, where you can find me on Instagram and YouTube, and I'm joined as always by my two co-hosts, Pixie4.6 and Starworks.
Yeah, I haven't had a good shit in like 4 days.
That's a great intro.
I hate it. Like, I realized that. What the fuck are
you eating? I'm a lot of beef, and I don't have that problem.
Well, I think what's happening is my body is realizing slowly over time that I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh.
And my brain is just ignoring that.
Interesting.
So a go-to breakfast thing for me is like kind of like a caprese sandwich, but like a half sandwich, like on a piece of toast. So me and my wife, we go to Costco and we get these ciabatta rolls, and then we put heirloom tomatoes, a little bit of basil and mozzarella on it with some like vinegar and olive oil. It's kind of like an Italian kind of breakfast, I guess you would call it. Like a Sicilian blah, 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 Lamborghini mozzarella. Like Alfredo is my uncle and he touched my pubis. that kind of thing.
What?
But I've been realizing that I had two of those 2 days in a row, and then the next day I was like, I didn't take my morning shit.
Uh-oh.
And then I didn't take my late night, like right before I go to bed and shit, and I was like, And then I did that the next day, and then the next day, and I'm like, what is going on? Uh-oh. Why do I weigh 20 pounds more? I had a good poop today though, so it was
okay. That's good. I was about to say, do you need a good
solid? No, it was a good solid 4 pounder.
Oh yeah, Pixie hasn't heard that yet. What do you mean, Pixie? You don't weigh yourself before you shit and then after?
No, I don't.
It's science. It's scientific.
You got to see how full of shit you are.
You can calculate it.
So the other people that I know that are lactose intolerant has the opposite effect. If they eat dairy, it gives them the fucking runs.
Yeah, if I eat cheese, it just stops.
I don't know if this. I don't know.
And I was like, well,
I made that joke in 2020 when the pandemic happened, because you know how when that first happened, everybody was going out and buying toilet paper for no reason.
Yeah, what was up with that?
I don't understand. But I made a joke because I bought a 4-cheese pizza from DiGiorno and I had it on my stove getting ready to make it. It was like, do you want to not use the bathroom anymore? Well, DiGiorno has a 4-cheese pizza, so you don't need toilet paper in this time. That was the joke. Ha ha ha. I'm funny. Anyway.
Can use the crust to wipe your ass.
No.
Oh my god.
Oh, it had stuffed crust too. That was the thing. So there's more cheese in it too.
Crust? Damn. Just get the fucking mozzarella, what do you call them? The fucking the loaves of mozzarella you get at Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, they're so goddamn good.
Anyway, I have show and tell. Can I do show and tell?
That's awesome.
You have show and tell today.
Yes, I do. Apparently, a lot of people don't know about this. So if you go on a Delta flight and you walk up when you're boarding, you know how you have the flight attendants there greeting you when you walk in?
Yeah.
If you ask one of the flight attendants there if they have any trading cards on the flight deck, you may get given some of these.
What?
Yeah.
They have Delta plane trading cards? What the f- that's fucking sick.
Yeah, Delta has trading cards that you can just get.
I wonder if there's I wonder if there are like holographic or shiny ones.
They're all holographic. These are all holographic.
Yeah, but like shiny. what if like every once in a while there's one that's like made out of solid gold or something? Well,
no, they do have special ones, and instead of rectangles, they're squares. And this is the Olympics one, the Team USA one.
Ooh, that's the rare one.
Yes. Somebody is selling this on eBay right now for $50. Yes.
That's such a card collector moment.
Yes. But
like, how much money is this worth?
I never paid attention to it. Like, I always saw it on like Twitter or something like that, where somebody was like, hey, you know, Delta does trading cards and stuff like that. But whenever I was on a flight, I always forget. But now when I landed in Atlanta this past weekend, the pilot of the A321 that I was on just literally had the entire stack of trading cards on the plane in his hand as we were deplaning.
And damn, everybody and he was in front like, of here, me, take these.
Everybody in front of me just walked right past him without saying anything. They didn't take them. I walked up and was like, hey, can I have a couple of those? And yeah.
Hey, can I have all of them?
And he gave me these two. And on the back, it has like stats about the plane and everything.
Ooh. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to do that on every Delta flight that I'm on. And the thing about it is some planes don't even have them. Some Delta flights don't even have them. So it's kind of like the luck of the draw.
No pun intended, because they're cards.
But that was one of the cool things that happened this weekend. Another cool thing is I have official merch in my hands right now. Check it out.
Look at that.
Yeah. This is an acrylic magnet.
What is that for the audio listeners?
This is a flag time acrylic magnet. Yeah, I just said it.
It's an acrylic magnet. What is that for the listeners?
and for Steve Harvey.
Yes. Not on sale yet. We literally just got these as like a test run to make sure that they're, you know, working. However, if you manage to somehow find me out in the wild in person, I have three of them.
You should autograph them.
I should, but I don't have anything that won't wipe off of this shit.
Sharpie.
You could easily wipe that off.
Penis.
I can wipe
that off easier.
I'm going to put one of these on my toolbox at the new dealership that I'm going to work at. Just be like, dink, and see if anybody says anything.
Speaking of new dealerships.
Yes.
You and me are starting at dealerships tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
No.
No,
day
Tuesday.
After tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yes, because Labor Day is tomorrow. We have dated this podcast. It is Labor Day tomorrow.
I gotta work.
Oh my God, it's so dated.
You have to work on Labor Day? What the fuck?
Yes, I do.
Ew.
Man, I didn't know that works on Labor Day.
Like, that's not anything that I'm doing. Anytime we say where, like, Pixie works, it just bleeps for some reason. I don't know how to... I can't stop it. Like...
Yeah, like, it just... What happens every time I say... It just bleeps. I don't know why. What is that? What's up with that?
I don't have a bleep that long. Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon. That's literally where we're getting all of our funding from. Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of all of our episodes from episode 30 onwards. We have three tiers that you can choose from. $3 tier that just lets you see the video episodes outright. A $6 tier that lets you see the video episodes and a bunch of other extra content, including access to our Discord. And a $15 tier that Pixie doesn't think you have the balls to get. $15 a month gets you everything that the $3 and $6 tiers get, including a shout out at the end of the episode. And also a listener interaction exclusive portion of the podcast specifically catered towards you guys. The Flag Time Podcast Patreon. Subscribe today to see.
Hi, Stirworks here. We here at Flag Time want to let you guys know that Apple has required Patreon to use their in-app purchasing system and remove all other billing options from their iOS services. This means that Apple's 30% App Store fee will be added to our existing tier prices, ramping up the cost. We want you to avoid this by using your browser on your Apple device for any Patreon purchases after November of 2024. Doing this bypasses the 30% App Store fee and doesn't allow an already successful successful corporation to nickel and dime you as the consumer. Existing supporters don't need to worry, as this only affects new members. Thank you for your attention, and we appreciate your continued support of this dumbass show.
Oh, God. But yeah, we talked about it last episode. We talked about you talked about your whole situation last episode.
I talked about my last story.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think what I'm curious about the most is if anybody knows me.
Yeah, that's going to be the fun part.
It'd be like one person's just like, what are you doing here?
You're going to drive up in your Saab and one of the techs is going to be like, is that Saab 900? Not knowing at all that you're the guy that
it'd be like EM2 Yuki.
Yeah. Just start sucking a phantom dick.
Find out that that's find out he is not actually in Canada and that's just where he works. And like, wait, what?
You get into the shop, you're getting all set up, and you hear somebody at the back of the shop like, what the fuck? We'll run over here.
You're like, no fucking way. I don't know. They didn't say anything when they interviewed me, and they interviewed me twice. Or 2 weeks apart.
Mm-hmm.
And like I parked my car like way in the side of the lot when I parked there, like because I didn't know where to park, because I didn't want to park where all the new cars were, and I didn't want to park where all the customer cars were. So I was like, I don't know where to go. I don't want to be in the way of anybody, because if I do, I would hate if somebody was like, hey, you need you to move your shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm in an interview. Sorry. But yeah, I'm very curious. I mean, it's probably going to be nobody. But you never know.
Is it 280? What? No, 220. How many followers do you have?
228,000.
Yeah, 228,000 people is a lot of people. But when you spread it out through the entire planet,
not many. It's less than
a
tenth of a percent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is why I'm surprised I even got recognized once out in the wild.
Same. Like I'm not surprised that I get recognized at like events that people go to, because people go to those events because they said that I was going to that event. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, hey, you're the guy that I'm here. I said I was gonna be here. You saw me, you found me. Good job.
Oh, yeah, no, good dude, job, like,
little guy.
I haven't told anybody this yet, but I was at a Mongolian barbecue place in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I'm from. And I was just waiting for my food to get cooked. So you bring the raw ingredients up to the grill and you stand around the grill in like a half circle next to the table and they cook your food in front of you.
It's kind of like a hibachi restaurant.
Kind of like that. But Chinese. But I was just perusing
Mongolian,
my Instagram.
Mongolian, not Chinese.
Yeah. But I was just perusing my Instagram, and the kid next to me saw my profile and said, oh, you follow that guy too? And I'm like, bruh.
That's me. Hit him in the head with a fucking helmet.
That was cool.
Inside joke. That is super cool.
Mm.
I've been recognized a few times, and every time it's you. Well, one of the last times was when I was driving my Accord that I have posted like videos of a while ago, and it was when it was a different color. And like I went to the Home Depot the other day, and I like got out, and someone was like, that's not a Saab 900. And I was like, what? I turned around, and then I turned back around, and then I turned like back around again. And I was like,
bitch, what you call me?
What'd you say? I was like, you're Stirworks, right? And I was like,
depends on why you're asking.
Yeah. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, not much, just going to Home Depot. And I was like, yep, same.
Yep.
I was like, what'd you get? And he was like, I got nails or something. I don't remember. I was like, I'm getting some glue. He was like, cool. And then that was it.
That was the whole interaction.
I was like, cool. See you later, I guess. Gotta have the logo facing out. There we go.
There you go.
He's getting the
nails.
We
are not sponsored by Pepsi.
Could you imagine? Eat him without milk so he can get into the salty spittoon.
Dude, speaking of running into semi-famous people, I remember when I was working at Target, again in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I went to go use the bathroom, around the corner, and there was just Matt Hardy.
You're like, huh? Like, what are you doing here, bro?
Apparently, he lives nearby.
One of my friends, this is a quite a long time ago, but one of my friends was just going to dinner at a local restaurant on Bainbridge Island where I used to work, and she just walks in and Tom DeLonge is sitting at the bar, like the lead singer of Blink 182.
Oh shit.
And the front man, he's like, yeah, I live here. And she's like the biggest Blink 182 fan ever, and she's like, get the fuck out of here, and she got a picture with him. That's cool.
That's cool.
This is like years ago. I don't know. It's kind of fun. You see like famous people that are like really famous just hanging out at your local bar, just at the fucking.
I think I told this story on the podcast. The I don't remember which episode if I did, but the first time I ever went to GoPro Motorplex.
Wasn't there a NASCAR driver there?
There's four of them.
Yeah.
Like, I walked in as this just random dude, and it was raining outside. And I walk in, and there's Noah Gragson, John Hunter Nemechek, Jamie McMurray.
Oh, shit.
And Josh Wise.
Jamie McMurray's he's pretty famous.
Yeah, he's won the Daytona 500.
Yeah. He's good. He's decent.
Yeah. And so all four of them were there and it was raining outside, and I walk in, I'm like, oh, I'm about to get butt fucked, aren't I?
It's like real NASCAR drivers are like, oh.
But my only the only thing that I had like redeeming about that whole thing was on the second race, the first race I got trapped in mud, so I had to get pulled out. The second race, I improved 8 seconds from my first time.
Well, I mean, crashed on the first time.
Well, no, I had complete laps on the first
time. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I improved 8 seconds from those laps from before. And Josh Wise looked up and said, that's actually really good.
It's what we call getting dialed in.
Yeah.
Locked in.
My friend's got a lot of stories like that. He used to be one of the guys that did the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier thing, and he's met Trump and a bunch of other fucking celebrities and shit.
Mm.
And he said when Trump came through and signed the guest book, he took out his own pen and signed it, and it bled through like 4 pages.
Of course it did. That dude is the most remember me person on this fucking planet.
Remember me.
Everybody can do a Trump voice. Everybody can.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do a good one.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try. I haven't even done it.
I'm not going to try either.
Some people have said that my Trump voice is pretty good. Not the best, but pretty good. It could be better. It could be a lot better, you know.
One good because I can't get the mannerisms down.
Yeah.
You just got to have the right mindset for it, you know?
My favorite, is one that's done by a comedian.
I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm going to say that.
I know who you're talking to.
Shane Gillis. That's the comedian. Shane Gillis. He did one where he was doing the Trump voice and he made a joke.
He probably does the best one of them.
Yeah, he's like, Austin, a lot of homeless. Why?
A lot of homeless in Austin. Don't know why.
He just goes, why?
I was there weird.
We saw that firsthand.
Don't know why.
There's a lot of homeless people in Washington. That's crazy. You guys will see when you get here.
We'll see. Yeah. When are we doing that? We should like plan that.
Well, it probably wouldn't be this year at this point.
Right? Yeah, no. Because I need to save up money. I'm still paying off the Austin trip from last year. That was really
awesome. I already have the money for the Washington trip, so I'm probably gonna buy car parts with that right now. or another gun, one of the two.
Or you could not spend it on anything
and do what,
and save it for the future.
But that's bad for the economy.
This is money that has been specifically been saved for the trip already.
It's like how you justify it. You're like, But babe, I've already, this money has been set aside for this only. It can only be spent on this and nothing else. Can't spend it on groceries.
I'm definitely bringing fishing gear when I go up there, though.
Oh yeah, we'll leave you to that. Like, we'll drop you off at a lake, like a daycare center, and then
we'll drop you off at a fucking alpine lake, and then come back in a few days.
I want to catch a pike so bad. You have no idea.
Where the fuck are you gonna catch a pike?
What's a pike?
Fucking lakes and ponds everywhere. What do you mean, where am I going to catch it? The state record is 35 pounds.
Hey, guys, what's a pike?
44 incher. A pike is
that I've never seen.
A pike is a northern... It's
northern?
I don't know. It's a north... It's a cold water fish that's really popular because they what's get really like? Big and they're really... I'm pulling it up.
This is Pixie and his inability to describe shit again.
Fish. Oh, one of these.
You know what that means? Fish orgy. What?
Fucking.
Okay.
I love that.
It's just wow, a fish, like a but long. It's just a long fish.
It's a long, toothy, aggressive fish. They'll get 50 plus inches long, weigh 30 fucking pounds.
Jesus.
And I want to catch one because they look like a lot of fun. We don't get them down here. You
know, someone on this planet calls their dick a pike, and it's stupid.
I remember one time I was on the bus when I was like in eighth or ninth grade. And I remember there was a kid in the very back that just yelled, "This bus is my cock."
I have a similar story.
I don't know why I just thought of that, but whenever people think like talk about like comparing their dicks to the size of something, I just think about that. That's all I think about.
This bus is my cock.
Nobody responded. There was like three people on the bus. It was him and then me up in the front because I was the kid on the bus that talked to the driver about the bus. I was like, "So this thing's got a 4-speed manual transmission, right? Do you like to double clutch or do you like to shift normally?" Like, I was the fucking stupid kid in the front that would.
Is he the one that told you to shut the fuck up all the time?
The driver?
Yeah.
No. The driver on my route was pretty cool. There was a substitute that would tell everyone to shut the fuck up. And like, I remember one time we were on the bus and like the kid in the back who was yelling, "This bus is my cock." Like he said something else. He was what do they call it? When you say like slurs randomly, what's Tourette's. That?
Racist?
Tourette's. That? Oh. No. Well, You could be a racist person with Tourette's. That'd probably be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You'd probably be on TV if you did something like that. But if there was I remember one time she pulled over and like this Tourette's dude in the back was yelling and she was like, "Shut the fuck up." Like at like she pulled over and like got up and ran into the back of the bus and like grabbed him by the shirt and told him to shut the fuck up like that.
Hell yeah.
And then she wasn't our substitute bus driver after that.
Oh, jeez. I wonder why.
I bet you she was happy about that revelation.
I don't know. It's pretty funny. Anyway, pike fishing in Washington.
The state record's 35 pounds. So y'all got
it's Eastern Washington.
Long fish.
Eastern Washington's fucking over there. So we're not going there.
I'm pretty sure that there's pike in Western Washington too.
We're staying next to the Pacific Ocean.
We're going to be on the good in the cool part of Washington where all the people are cool and all the cities.
I'm still gonna try to fish.
That's like I said, we'll drop you off like it's a daycare center. So
you drop me off for like 2-3 hours, I'll be fine.
Anyway, we do have a listener interaction segment that we can.
Do. We do. I'm gonna look up fishing.
Okay, you do that. So we asked our Patreon members a different question than the Instagram ones this time. So we got two separate questions. We'll start off with the Patreon. And for this episode, we asked them, where the fuck did it go? There it is. So we asked our premium Patreon members within the past decade. So 2014 to now. 2014 was 10 years ago.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, no. So within the past decade, what has been a standout automotive-related memory for you? Can be good, bad, comedic, or heartwarming.
Or any of the above. 2014 and
up. Yeah.
I remember when I stuffed my Buick into the side of that Tahoe. That was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
I remember... Oh, shit. When did the... What year did the first Aventador come out?
2012.
Damn it. Okay, never mind.
That is a... I'm pretty sure it's 2012 because I remember seeing the Aventador at the car show in Seattle when it was brand new.
Oh, yeah.
Model... Yep, 2012. I was right.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a perfect guess. So it was launched. I guess it was launched in 2011.
Premium member Vubula says, honestly, discovering Doug DeMuro on Jalopnik. I've always loved car culture, but his writing really got me invested, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Doug DeMuro was a very good initial inspiration.
Like how you specified initial. Just nodding. Premium member Force User says, I got to the States in 2013 and started working until 2015. My first and so far only job in the United States has been with the car industry. I started as a car washer, and my first week of driving a car through the wash tunnel, the rear door window decides to lower itself at the pressure washer arc.
Excellent.
Proceeded to soak me and the interior of the car. Pedal to the metal to get out, hoping there was nobody in front of me. That's a good memory.
That's not what you do in that situation, but all right.
You got out of it.
You ever see those videos of those people that just drive through the car wash and it just destroys the whole fucking thing because they drove through it? That's what usually happens.
Premium member Elysium Darkness says, at a local Cars and Coffee event, I was taking several pictures of a blue McLaren 600LT, my dream car.
Cool.
The owner noticed and asked if I would like to sit in it. I, of course, said yes and had the memorable ability to sit in my dream car at only 18.
Wow. That's pretty special. I had that experience, but I got to drive my dream car.
Hell yeah.
I remember me and my buddy, we went down to California to buy a car from this guy.
Mm.
But what my buddy didn't tell me is that this guy also had a fucking 2005 Ford GT.
Oh.
And it was it had a smaller supercharger pulley. It had different exhaust. It was tuned and it was really fast and I got to drive it. And I still got to say, this is slower than my Mustang. Somehow. Don't know how, but it was.
Premium member Mojo Nixon Gaming says, I did an alignment on a Mark V GR Supra a couple months ago, or a couple of months after it came out, and I felt like I'd made it. I felt pride that someone would trust me with the car.
That's a special feeling.
It is, yeah. The first time I ever worked on an AMG GT, I got that feeling.
Yeah, it's like, man,
See, premium member Ashton Green says, I've been a massive Ferrari fan for almost 20 years now. And eight years ago, a local Ferrari collector gave me a personal tour of his garage. We spent 3 hours talking about the cars and the stories behind each.
A
few highlights from his collection were a La Ferrari, an F12 TDF, a Duesenberg Model J, a Miura SV, a 300 SL Gullwing, a 288 GTO, and a 288 GTO.
Hey man, imagine having that much fucking money.
You're right. I legitimately almost passed out when I walked into the garage. He had to get me a chair and some water.
Damn.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Patreon member Devine says, I've got plenty to choose from, but one that stands out intently is this. I work at an auto parts store, and I get to talk to a bunch of amazing people who share the love for old cars. My main interest is in 1970 to early 2010s GM stuff. I get to share and talk about my ADHD-infused love for old cars. I've met some of my best friends and other amazing people through the shared love of cars.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So my Patreon GM stopped making good cars is after 2010.
Yeah.
There were a few periods.
at least the V8s, anyway.
They were like between like 1972 and like 1983.
Yeah,
that era was kind of not good. Like a 79 Malibu sucks, unless it's for drag racing.
Mm-hmm. I think my neighbors has one, or one of their uncles has it or something.
Well,
shows up on my street every once in a while.
I always forget about. I guess G bodies are good cars. I don't know. G bodies are they're still kind of junk. My dad had a G body, and it was like heavier in every possible way than like an equivalent like Mustang, and somehow just not as good. I don't know. I don't know how you would describe that. G bodies are cool though. I just don't think they're kind of shitty.
Gotcha. Patreon member Framed Automotive says, not only one memory, but a lot of them, actually. I've met some of my best friends all over Europe in the last 5 years. They may live really far away, and I see them only once or twice every 2 years, but they always have an open ear for my problems and the other way around as well. I guess it's centered around cars somehow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, finding friends through cars is also really fun. That's like a fun friendship.
Yeah,
if you're into cars. If you're not, then that's going to be rough. you're gonna be roped into a lot of conversations you don't know anything about.
Yeah. Premium member Cyan Lion says, my favorite was being able to drive Watkins Glen with my dad. It's around where he grew up, and it's my personal favorite track despite its simplicity. Hey, like Watkins Glen, especially with the boots, fucking fantastic.
That's a good track.
Mm-hmm.
What the track need boost for? I gotta go to the store.
What?
Fuck you. You are no longer allowed to speak.
Premium member JJ the Tech says, in 2021, the pandemic shutdown had taken me from F1 fan to true fanatic. And as soon as the lockdown ended, I went karting for the first time ever. In the group ahead of mine, I saw a woman holding a really nice looking Red Bull helmet. Then saw the man she was there with, and my knees nearly buckled when I realized it was Alex Albon, at the time former Red Bull F1 driver, currently a Williams F1 driver. I got to watch him race brilliantly under the name Lando Norris, and got to meet him and tell him I just knew he'd be back on the grid killing it someday. And I immediately insisted on speaking to the manager and pretty much demanded a job. He was impressed, said I was the only person he saw who knew who Albon was, and that's how my whole automotive journey started. Back when I didn't even know what a ratchet was. Completely changed my entire life. At the time, I had recently bombed out of yet another attempted career and was intensely depressed, feeling directionless and hopeless, and had only recently started becoming aware of just how neuro-spicy I really am.
That's a fun realization, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, fuck.
Becoming a mechanic and then a tech went beyond just changing my life. If I'm honest, it saved my life. All because of a chance meeting with one of the rarest athletes in the world. Forever grateful and insanely lucky. That's a great cool. story.
That is a great story. Goddamn. God, Logan, damn.
Premium member Level 14 says, starting my job at Mercedes in 2017 and subsequently being able to learn so much about those cars and cars in general since then. Has since given me confidence to work on my own stuff, or at least understand how things work, amplified by a few channels I've found on YouTube since 2020, so I'm able to see even more about how things work / operate. Shout out to I Do Cars and Legit Street Cars on YouTube. Grateful for all of it. It's rewarding finishing something big or small to me. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So
it's like getting a Lego set done.
Yeah.
Or like fixing a piece of a Lego set. It's pretty fun.
Premium member Sports Cars of Sumas says, there's so many and I've sat here a solid half hour thinking through dozens. But the one it keeps coming back to is reaching the Welcome to Oregon sign at Siskiyou. Is that how you pronounce that? Siskiyow.
I don't know. I don't live in Oregon. Got it.
Siskiyou Summit at like probably midnight on the second day into driving my Ford Durango back home from Washington after picking it up in Orange County and preparing it for the 1300 mile trip home. The blower motor was burned out, so I didn't have any heat or defrost, and this was in mid-January.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like driving an air-cooled Volkswagen.
The Ute had a full bed and a cab for the trip with the items I left in Cali that I was bringing back up, and the 200 Thrift Power i6 was barely lugging it up all the mountain. My dog was asleep with her head in my lap, and I was constantly wiping the fog off the windshield with paper towels, trying not to breathe too hard. There wasn't a stereo, and I'd bought a cheap Bluetooth speaker for the trip. The seat wasn't supportive, and my ass was killing me. The second I saw that sign, I screamed, fuck yeah, to finally be out of California and in my moment of catharsis. I saw that it was so cold in the car that I could see my breath. Stopped in Grants Pass that night and drove back to Bellingham the following day, where it was pissing rain from Vancouver to Mount Vernon, and my paper towel windshield duties had to get kicked into overtime. Made it home alive and enjoyed the shit out of that automotive anomaly for the couple of years until I decided to replace it with another Ranchero. Anyways, that singular moment through Siskiyou is the biggest standout automotive memory for the last decade. Just barely inched ahead of like 20 others.
One thing he mentioned, you notice he said Ford Durango?
Yeah.
Not a Dodge Durango?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talked about that in one of the past episodes.
I know, but for people who don't know, the thing about the Ford Durango is it was built, it was a super limited production build with a coach company, and it was like a Ford Fairmont Futura, basically.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
With the back of it cut off, and it was a pickup truck, like a Ford Ranchero.
Right.
And they only made fucking 300 of them or something.
Shit.
And it's just, it's not a really, they're really rare, but they're rare kind of just because nobody bought them.
Right.
Rather than like them being like really, you know, like a, it looks like this. Oh, can you see this?
Nope. Not yet.
Yeah, I can.
Now I can. I see what you're talking about. Okay.
Oh, here it is. This is the car right here.
Hell yeah.
Actually, this is the car. That's specifically the one that he had.
Oh, that's the actual one. Okay.
That's the actual one. That's how little of them there are. This is it. It's this one specifically.
Hell yeah.
I actually know a guy that has, it's a Lincoln one. Or it's a Mercury. It's a Mercury.
Is that a Ford Durango with a Fox body front end?
No. The Ford Durango is a Fox body. The Fairmont Futura is a Fox body.
I'm looking at the picture that has the Fox body whole front. The other ones don't look like they have the front end.
They all have the same front end. They're all the same. See? That's the same.
He's talking about the black one.
I'm talking about the black one.
This one?
No.
No, the one.
A little bit further. It's that one on the right.
This one.
Yeah.
No, no, not that one. It's the bottom.
What the fuck are you talking about then?
This one?
That one. No, you were just on it.
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
No, up. Do you see where the Ford fail is? The YouTube one is a why did the Ford Durango fail up near the top of the screen? It's the picture on the right of it.
He highlighted that one.
I know, and then he skipped right by it and said this one.
No, it's the one that you had highlighted before.
Holy fuck! What are you? Okay, point. Which one is it?
The one on the top left,
right next to the one that says Ford fail.
This one. This is the one.
Yes.
This one?
That's the one I'm talking about.
I clicked on this one.
Yeah, and you skipped right by it before I said yes, that one.
And no, this is an LTD front end.
It looked like a Fox body when it was zoomed out.
They are Fox bodies. They are all Fox bodies.
I know, but it looked exactly like a Fox body, is what I'm saying.
I'm saying it's a Fox body, and you're saying it looks like a Fox body. It's because it is.
It's never mind.
Anyway.
Premium
member Hal says, good question. I bought one of my dream cars, a Datsun 288 ZX. I was going to do what?
You say 280?
Yeah, 280 ZX.
Hell yeah.
I was going to do a before the winter service. Don't know if it was just a faulty road or something on it, but the back kicked out and I landed in the steel railing.
That sucks. What?
That's an interesting way of saying that, but all right.
My comment was just, well, fuck, that was that car then. The whole rear left panel was bent in. I had to search far and wide for a firm that wouldn't just take the insurance money and scrap the car. Finally, I found a newly founded old school workshop. They probably lost money on the thing, but God damn it, I was almost crying when I got the car back. You couldn't even tell that it had been royally fucked. It's a pretty good story.
That's good.
Premium member Mad Mike says, I started working for an engineering firm back in 2018 and had the absolute amazing opportunity to be part of automotive prototype testing and development. I had the chance to go to several racetracks, drive on the highest street in Europe, and I get to take absolute dream cars over the weekend. This work also enabled me to buy two of my top three dream cars myself. All this made many, 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 many memories. Hell yeah.
Cool. Hell yeah.
Premium member Police 428 says, for me, it has to be the first car meet I went to on my own accord. Meets in person are a lot more chill and welcoming than the internet, but now it's become more the opposite, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. New, car meets. Yeah.
They're growing slowly more and more unhinged. Okay, this
They're already unhinged.
Let's see. This one's really long, so I'm going to have to paraphrase this one. I told you guys to keep it under a paragraph. This is like three. I'll do your first memory, since you listed two. All right, premium member Mopar 1966 says, I was filling an air suspension on a Grand Cherokee, and all of a sudden I heard a loud boom. I was standing at my toolbox on the computer running the fill on the car. The boom was so loud it echoed, and you could feel the force. I thought the air tank had blown up the car. No, instead it was about a 70-year-old tech who had put a car tire on his motorcycle wheel and overinflated it, and the tire blew up, and he was filling it under his toolbox, and it dented his toolbox.
Fucking, he was... I mean, that's kind of the best way to join the dark side right there.
Yeah. Almost dying.
Wow. Wonder how that happened. Well, snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Shit. Premium member Meep, but in Japanese, says, For me, it would have to be the working on a Mini Cooper for the first time. It made me so mad that the whole shop heard me call Mini Engineers the C word Australians use a lot. For all I care, they can get fucked by a shovel big end first.
Yeah, there's some clever engineering on Mini Coopers that, like, a few times have been like, oh, that's cool, but
not enough.
It's never very often. It's normal. It's mostly like, who the fuck put the oil filter underneath the goddamn coolant bottle?
I'm glad Mercedes engineers just put the oil filter
there.
Right there.
There.
It's just on. Just right there.
There.
Not hidden by anything. Maybe sometimes you have to go under the car to get it, but
it's
usually right there.
Yes.
Gotta take two intake tubes off to get to the one on the fucking Land Rovers.
That was funny. Yeah. I have a funny story about that. So on the 264.
No.
Oh. weird
oil filter placement. I got a scratch on my ear. That feels hell so yeah. Good. There we go.
But we're talking about oil filter placements on the 264s, the inline four cylinders on the Mercedes. One of my coworkers at the first dealer that I worked at, he never read workshop information systems, which is what we call WIS. It's like all data, but for Mercedes. And
some data.
Yeah. So he never read that. He never looks anything up on it. He just kind of wings every single thing he does, which explains why he got let go when he did.
Yeah.
But he would always take off the intake tube to get the oil filter off. And I looked up the WIS instructions.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. I looked up the WIS instructions for taking that oil filter out. And I'm like, dude, you just need to kind of push the coolant tube out of the way and you can pull it out. He's like, oh.
He's like, oh, well, the engine's out of the car, so. Yeah.
Premium member, this is the final Patreon response. Premium member Nick Toomey says, most of my automotive craziness was from 2009 to 2012, but one thing after 2014 was going with my buddy and almost getting arrested in a Cobra kit car.
That's an easy thing to do. I've almost gotten arrested in a Cobra kit car before.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like 400 horsepower in a car that weighs 2,000 pounds.
It continues. He works for a classic car dealership, and they encourage their employees to take cars out to shows and cruises. So I rode with him out to the Woodward Dream Cruise in a Shelby Cobra 427 kit car.
Woodward Dream Cruise. Why does that sound so familiar?
It had a pretty wicked 351 Cleveland in it. And hell, so we were having a good time.
Best we Ford go, motor.
We go to get on the interstate with the rest of the group, and they all downshift and just hit it. And the Cobra being so light and powerful, he was out front, and we didn't notice the Oakland County Sheriff tucked in on the side.
Oopsie.
Made him sweat for quite a while. Cut my buddy a break, but still ended up costing him his license. But I'll never forget the way those Cobras drive one of my unobtainable dream cars.
Officer, it's not my fault. It's got a big block in it.
You could probably build a Cobra for less than 50 grand, I would imagine.
Yeah, this kit's for under 50 grand. I was looking at one not too long
ago. How much is a Factory 5 Cobra kit?
That's the one I was looking up, actually. I think are they 25 for everything not including the engine or something like that?
That's not bad.
I look it up.
Oh, yeah, their base MSRP is $20,990.
That's not bad.
That's fucking super. That's cheaper than a Miata.
And then it's for the rest of the drivetrain, it's probably another 20,000, depending on what you want to put in it.
A fucking Facebook Marketplace Ford Explorer 5.0 is going in a Cobra if I ever get
there
one.
You go.
Why? Why that specifically?
Because you can get them for like a grand and they're like a running engine. You just drop it in, you're done.
There's a dude who has a NASCAR truck, like a racing truck from NASCAR, and he put a AMG M156 in it.
That's so random. That's actually...
I mean, if it's a NASCAR truck, you don't have to worry about it fitting. You just got to make your own motor mounts and it'll
exactly,
go in.
Yeah.
You know what I would rather put in one of these would be like a fucking... I think something that would piss off boomers would be fun, like a K-Series. Has anyone ever built a K-Series Cobra?
I don't think so.
That'd be super fun.
Hell yeah. Anyway, that was on Patreon.
If anybody's ever done that, cool. But if nobody's ever done that, don't fucking take my idea. I want to do that.
Yeah, that was our Patreon responses. Thank you guys so much for being premium members. We really appreciate your generous support for this fucking dumbass show. Anyway, we'll go to the Instagram responses, which they had a completely separate question.
Oh boy.
And we asked them, what video game are you just absolutely cracked at for no reason? And if you're not in with internet slang, cracked means really good. If you're really good at something.
Yeah.
And the picture that I put on the story is me absolutely carrying my team in Ace Combat 7.
Hell yeah.
So the enemy team only got 32,627 points. Like, out of all of them. All four of them. I had 75,808. I had to see if those were like zeros or eights or something. So yeah, no, I had over twice the amount of points that the enemy team had single-handedly. And
holy
with
fuck.
The points that with the points that the rest of my team had, we almost had 100,000 points.
Me when balls
when Peebus and ball. Yeah.
You know, I've been playing Ace Combat since 2001, so I'm kind of OP at it, just a little bit. So that's what we asked our Instagram peeps. What game are you guys just good at for no reason? Don't say War Thunder. We know it's War Thunder, Pixie.
Other than War Thunder, I used to be really, really good at Apex until the game was trash and I stopped playing it.
Okay.
Same. I was really good at a lot of games, and then the games just started being really fucking bad because greedy companies. So I stopped playing them.
Yeah.
And I basically only play War Thunder and fucking Helldivers 2 right now.
Hell yeah!
Isn't War Thunder like a pay to win kind
of
game?
Kind of.
Yeah, but no. It's like
you have to, if you're not going to put any money in it, you have to grind like order to get the good shit.
In order to get the stuff, but to actually be physically good at it, you don't need the good stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's easier when you have the overpowered stuff that you can just buy, but you don't need them at all. Especially now that they changed the whole fucking economy, and it's actually easier to grind stuff out as long as you're good at the game. If you're sucked, then I don't know what to say. Get 7,000 hours in the game and then
get good scrub.
Scrub.
What about you, Sterling?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Gran Turismo 4.
Yeah.
But it took me a really long time to get good at that game.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am pretty good at... I have Gran Turismo Sport on PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And I have a VR headset with it. And it'll allow you to do a VR race. Basically a time trial.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play the game with the VR headset on in like VR mode. You can have the headset on and play it, but it's just like the screen is big in front of you, basically.
Screen is holy big. Latency, Batman.
and there's is it doing
No, not you. I'm talking about like playing a game in VR headset.
No, it actually it didn't really have any latency issues.
That's the thing. Like, I tried playing Rocket League on a big screen on my headset, and there was noticeable input lag.
Oh my god! Yeah, the PS4's VR is pretty good with lag. It's
okay.
It's pretty much no latency at all. However, when you use it in like career mode, it's just like a big screen. But if you go into VR mode in Gran Turismo, it'll allow you to do a VR time trial. So it'll allow you, like, for a long time, I played that game in VR. And I would just have like the screen, and then I would have it like zoom in, so it kind of looked like I was in the car when I did the interior view.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just unlocked VR mode. I just like, oh yeah, you can do VR mode now. And I was like, what? And then I clicked on it, and like I got in a car, and I was like,
whoa. Yeah.
Like I was, you could like move your head like all the way under. Down like into the passenger footwell, and it's like detailed, and I was like, what? And then when you like accelerate and decelerate, like the camera moves and like you can turn. So I was like, okay, this is real. This is so much better. And but it wouldn't allow you to race. You could only do a time trial. Won't put another car on the track, but it will give you every single car in the game with the VR interior.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It'll give you every track in the game with full VR detail and all that. It just won't let you race anyone. So
okay, that's kind of a trade-off, because if you can see every car's interior in VR, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, well, if they only like, gave you like three of them.
No,
it's that would suck ass.
It's pretty much every car.
Yeah.
Some cars have a simplified interior that's just like a black interior that's just like generic shapes, but most of them are detailed. And it does like the camera moves up and down when you accelerate, and it tilts when you go side to side, and it kind of shakes when you go over rumble strips. It's pretty cool. It's for a VR racing game, it's pretty realistic. I mean, I've never played what's the one that all the professionals use? Well, there's a Assetto Corsa.
No, you got
iRacing. That's it. I've never played iRacing. I'm just going to put that out there. I've never played iRacing. I've never played Assetto Corsa on VR.
They've improved the tire mechanics in iRacing, because before it used to be like the rear end would come out and you couldn't save it. It was like it was on ice.
Oh, okay. That's fucking stupid. Gran Turismo, it was pretty predictable. But what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to get to, saying a million things, is I beat the real life Nürburgring lap time with the car that set the lap record in VR.
Hell yeah.
And I didn't change anything. I beat it by like a tenth of a second. It's like 650 something, I forget.
And then you're like, but I could probably do this in real life.
And the G forces just destroy you.
Yeah, right.
All right. Going into the first corner.
Yeah.
I want to go racing in real life.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, no. I trained for my first like real life racing experience, because I went to a 24-hour endurance race at VIR in 2020. And I practiced in iRacing for months before that. And I go in there, and on my 14th lap, going through the S's, I think there was something going on with like the fumes either in that car or another car out on track. But on my 14th lap going through the S's, I was like, hey, I'm going to puke.
Hey, pull over.
What? Can we get somebody to switch with me real quick? Because I'm not doing too hot. And they were like, yeah, give us a few laps and
I'm not doing
But no,
out the side of the car, you cover the windshield of the guy behind you, and yeah, fucking crash into the wall.
But like, I didn't puke, but I got into our pit stall and I couldn't pull myself out of the car. I was like, I used so many muscles in those 16 laps that like, I literally physically couldn't pull myself out of the car and I had to have help.
It's like me after fucking go-karting the shit out of the fucking, when we went go-karting and I was like,
what? Yeah.
Like the whole fucking time.
Oh, me after 32 beers.
Oh, me doing the 76 tail of the beers. Dragon. Me on the tail of the dragon on my S1000 just going once back up and down and my legs are like this afterwards. But yeah, it was that was that.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, we asked our Instagram listeners what games they're absolutely cracked at. And the first response is by the name is a user. Shut the goddamn up. We got an hour.
Shut the goddamn up.
Jesus fuck. Instagram user by the name of Morgan Jacobson had the first response. They said sniping in Battlefield 5 and running around in Call of Duty. Have I told you guys what my favorite thing ever to do in Call of Duty was?
Tell you about it, Tim.
Did I tell you guys that story?
Is that...
No, not no. I never said slurs. No.
But it's Call of Duty. Part of the experience.
Other people said them around me, but you know.
I hope so.
Like I've never been called the N-word by an 8-year-old before so many times.
It's not Call of Duty without the slurs.
So in Modern Warfare 3, they had this rocket launcher called the Smaw. I'm pretty sure I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They had this rocket launcher called the Smaw, and I like to call it the Redneck Sniper Rifle. Because I played hardcore a lot, and it didn't matter if you were like 2 miles away, because the rocket never deviated. It was like a laser. It just went straight to where you were aiming.
Fuck.
It didn't matter if you were like 2 miles away or next to me. I would shoot that rocket at you. And I had more kills with the Smaw than with my MP7, which was my primary. Yeah. So, and what the best thing about it was, is I had Scavenger Pro. Or one of the pro perks. One of the pro perks allowed you to aim down the sights and also walk really fast. And that's the balance with like rocket launchers, is it takes a while for it to come up when you shoot if you're not aiming down the sights. But this allowed you to aim down the sights all the time and walk really fast. So if somebody rounded the corner like in front of me, I just shoot the rocket and kill us both. And fuck. It was the greatest thing ever, because that also had the thing where, like, for 5 seconds, the person that you killed could hear them. And like every death single mites. Time I would always hear like, dude, stop.
I used to do something similar to that, but instead I would pull the pin and hold a grenade and just run around the map until I got close to somebody. And if they killed me in front of them, I'd drop it because fucking die and it would explode instantly. They'd just be like, what the fuck?
Oh, speaking of throwing things, I have a clip on my YouTube channel of World at War, Call of Duty World at War. And I was about to round the corner and I see a bouncing Betty on the ground. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to throw like a flashbang to disable it. And I threw the flashbang right as soon as somebody rounded the corner. And it bounced off his head and killed him.
I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
Direct impact.
Sorry.
You're like, cool. And then the flashbang goes off and you're like, ah!
Tinnitus. Anyway, we'll keep going down here. Let's see. Jesus Christ. Instagram user Mark Zim says, Geometry Dash. Played that shit since like I was 8. 1,250 hours logged. Jesus.
Bro, you need to go outside. You need to probably find another hobby.
You only flagged 1,200 hours from 8 years old to how you old now?
He's probably what if, 12. We don't know.
What if he's like 9?
Yeah.
Then it's okay, but he didn't say, so.
I say, you need to be 15 to have an Instagram. So
how many days is 1,250 hours?
1,250 hours is 52.08 days.
52 straight days.
A little under 2 months.
Ask her how much 7,200 hours is.
Hey, Siri. How many days is 7,200 hours?
7,200 hours is 300 days.
Oh, my God.
Just under a year.
Let's have a full year with Thunderblade.
What's 300 divided by 12?
18.
300 divided by 12 is 25.
That was close.
So, wait, no.
Math.
Divided by 12. Hey, Siri. What's 12 times 300? Man, I don't fucking know.
Did Siri go,
12 times 300 is 3,600.
Okay, so wouldn't that be if you... How many days, if you did it 12 hours a day, how many days would that be?
It would be however many days times 2.
Times 2?
Because 12 hours is half a day.
Oh, so it does divided.
Yeah, 300.
300 so days.
300 days.
So you do 12 days. Hours a day, so it's 600 days in a row.
And 900 days if you did 6 hours a day. 6 hours a day.
Yes. Yeah.
900 days.
That's a lot.
That's like fucking 3 solid years almost.
I mean,
3 solid days, 6 hours a day, 3 solid years, 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Sports Cars Asumas said Among Us.
I've never played Among Us.
No Among Us. No.
I've never played it.
Kill yourself.
Among Us.
Hey.
No, kidding.
No suicide in my Discord server.
So I drove to Mount Rainier the other day, right?
Yeah.
And on the way back,
Basic Elite said Stardew Valley.
Oh my god, I never played Stardew Valley.
Anyway, on the way back,
is that even a type of game where you can be cracked at it?
Yes, you can actually be good at that game.
Someone's gonna say slot machines.
Someone said the game of cross-threading bolts.
That's not good.
I had a coworker like you that. He probably got fired for it.
Anyway, what was your story about driving to Mount Rainier?
Oh, yeah. On the way back, one of the alternator belts came off.
Ah.
And it pushed one of the it's a fucking car with V-belts. So it's got 4 V-belts. It's got one for the air conditioning, 2 for the alternator and the water pump, and then 1 for the power steering.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the outer alternator belt came off, and it flung the power steering belt off. And then it shredded the rest of that belt all over the pulley, and we were like an hour away from home.
Oh, God.
And I was like, fuck. And the way the motor is in the car, it's the belts are against the firewall. So we were just driving and I felt something like it hit the back of the gas pedal.
Oh God.
And I was like, what the fuck? And it like, I was like, I bet one of the belts came off or something. I pulled over and the fucking belts all wrapped around the pulley. And I was like, cool. We have one alternator and water pump belt still on the car. That's perfect, because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to drive at all.
Oh god.
Because charging system and water pump, if the power steering belt came off, it was fine, but the power steering belt was still on, but I had to cut it to get the other belt off, so we had just like one belt on the car on the way all the way back home.
Jesus. Instagram user Blue Collar Memes says Windows XP Solitaire.
Okay, my mom's good at that game too. Windows XP Solitaire is pretty fucking fun.
Instagram user Ham named Steve says Minecraft.
Minecraft? How can you be good at Minecraft?
He probably has the world record for getting to the end. I don't know.
Just like just the whole thing.
Like, I know you can be good at like building in the game, but like,
there's like speed running the game because there is an end game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I guess that's true. I guess there's an ending.
The coconuts are migrating, says Skee-Ball.
The coconuts are migrating. Skee-Ball, man. Fuck. I wish I was good at Skee-Ball. I fucking suck at Skee-Ball.
I also suck ass at Skee-Ball.
Why do I suck so much at Skee-Ball?
Astrid 11724 says the game of sucking at every game.
Damn, that's
tragic.
Yeah, get better.
Get good.
Get better. Get better soon.
Get good.
Put 7,000 hours in a game. You'll get good at it. There I promise.
If you put 7,000 hours in a game, you should probably find another hobby.
Well, I started playing the game in 2012, and I play it off and on.
Overcock? What the hell? What game is Overcock?
What?
Overcooked? Yeah. I know that.
If I type Overcock into Google and a dick comes on my screen, I'm going to be mad.
Well, it's just going to be Overwatch.
I don't know if you want that on your search history.
Overwatch hentai.
There you go. This is a story that I saw where this dude was playing Overwatch. Oh, what did you find?
So I typed in Overcock video game, and the first thing that comes up is a Reddit post that says, does anyone else's dick get really small when you game?
What the fuck?
No. No. Mine doesn't do that.
It's got 87 comments on it.
Of course it does.
Yeah, because it's probably like, no.
But no, what I was going to say.
Mine doesn't change.
There was this dude
stays
who
the
was,
same.
Mine was, gets bigger, no.
There was this dude who was playing Overwatch, and he was playing as Mercy. And his younger brother comes into the room, and he goes, she's from a video game? If you know, you know. Anyway.
If you know, you know.
If we'll do, you know, we'll do one more know. Instagram response. Let me see the most ridiculous one that I could find.
Wienor.
There is a Wienor. What the hell? Ashton Green 00 says, I have about 20,000 hours in Minecraft.
Is that even physically fucking possible?
I had a real Siri. Problem in middle school and high school.
Uh-huh. What's 30,000?
20,000.
20,000. Okay, never mind. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get that.
Shut up. Shut up. What's 20,000 divided by 24?
20,000 divided by 24 is approximately 833.3333.
Did you do that math right?
That's 833 days straight. Because that's...
Oh, yeah.
20,000 divided by 24 would be 24 in... hour yeah. increments, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you do 24 if you do 24 times 833, it'll come up with that.
Okay. Hey Siri. Uh-huh. What's 833 times 6?
833 times 6 is 4,998.
6 hours a day? 4,998?
That is 13 calendar years. 13 and a half.
Assuming we did the math correctly, but yeah, that's that.
Many. And it's not six hours a day. I tell you that he's probably playing for more than 6 hours a day. Unless I don't
I'm
know,
breaking it for 13 hours a day. No,
I don't. I'm sorry, I don't support that.
I mean, that's crazy. I probably have that much total video game time played.
That's like how much hours of work I've done in real life.
So. Minecraft was released the 17th of May, 2009.
I forgot. Okay, that's kind of an older game, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like it's fucking almost 20 goddamn years old.
Whatever. I play games that were 20 years old when I was 5.
The game's only been out for 15 years, so he has played...
For like, 13 of those 15 years.
Yeah.
Assuming 13 he played 6 hours years, a day.
Yeah.
If he's played 6 hours a day, yeah. But that's crazy.
Also assuming we actually did the math correctly.
Yeah, which we probably didn't, knowing this show. This is an automotive service podcast, if you didn't know that already.
I work in the back.
Mechanics don't do math properly.
We do math with a calculator.
That's why we're mechanics.
Y'all use a calculator?
And not engineers.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I actually needed to do math at work at all.
The oil dispensers only read in quarts, and my instructions read them out in liters, so I have to do a liter to quarts conversion every single time I do a
fucked loser. I don't know. All of mine are in quarts already. You want to put oil? You want to put oil in a 3.7 Mercedes V6? It takes 8.9 quarts.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, because if we go,
no, it's 8.5 quarts.
Yeah, so if like the instructions say that this engine takes 6 liters, I have to go 6 × 1.057. Which is the liters to quarts conversion, and it comes out to 6.3 quarts. So
I did a oil change on a 3.7 V6 Mercedes today, and it was 8.5 quarts.
3.7?
It's a 2001 Mercedes. It's
older. Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna know that.
Poop car.
Anything older than 2008, I know nothing.
It was actually in really good condition. It had 170,000 miles on it.
Why would somebody take a nice condition Mercedes to a shop?
The car was in physically good condition. It had a check engine light.
Never mind.
Anyway, that was this episode of Flag Time. Thank you for listening to this. Whatever the fuck this is. My name is Trade Mobius. You got this is 4.6 of Stirwix. Okay. How do we do the outros for the show again?
Somebody says penis and then we say goodbye.
Oh, wait, I gotta read names. That's the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh no.
So thank you to all of our premium members on our Patreon who give us way too much money. Aaron Alexander, Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Ben, Big Blue, Caddy, Chat, Gid Mango, Cheesy Chap, Chrysler Connection, Devine, Devin Newby, D Mac Eat, Ellis Chateau, Eric, Firestone 512, Force User, Fortech 1397, Framed Automotive, Hal Hayden, Veals, Jaden Schoonover, JBBH 911, Jan Hankey, JJ the Tech, John Montague, Kai Dustpan, Kyle Olsen 25, Level 14, Sports Cars of Sumas, Lunar and Zane Cat Eye, Mad Mike, Mad Max 5, Mason Knight 500, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Mississippi King, Mopar 1966, Nathan, Nicholas Reach, Nick Toomey, Polyester 69, Police 428, Cyan Lion, Keegan John, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfo, Spooky Sprout, Steve Henriquez, Tagarong, The Big Maple, Vubula, Willie Martin, Woodwood, Elysium Darkness, and Meatbutt in Japanese. Again, thank you so much for your generous support of this dumbass show. And we will see you guys next time. Okay, bye.